Hello, and welcome to the Geek Mavericks Podcast.
I'm your host, Francis.
And I'm Anthony.
And we have a packed schedule for you.
Jam-packed.
Jam-packed podcast. Jam-packed
podcast. Podcast.
Subscribe now.
Yes. Hit the button. Bells. Whistles.
Alerts.
Yes. All that good stuff.
Oh, my goodness. We made it to our second podcast.
Wow. It's crazy. Amazing.
We have we're not great at, like, keeping up with podcasts, but this is, like...
But this is our sole focus now.
This is our sole focus now, so we can continue to do it.
Yeah, if we fail at this, then we just fail at everything.
So yeah.
We might as well just give up on this whole venture.
Yeah. We have some cool stuff, I think, today that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't we do some housekeeping
first? Yeah, let's start with some housekeeping. So first of all, we wanted to thank everybody for listening to our first podcast, Vodcast, which was last week. I think we had something like...
At this time, we're about 11,000 views on YouTube. We don't know how many listens on the actual podcast itself, because now we upload the videos to YouTube, and we also rip the sound and upload those to iTunes, well, to our website.
Yes. So last week, I spent, like, an entire day just, like, making a website, making a logo, like, rebranding everything. And at the end of that very tired day... I had submitted everything to Apple, and the way you do podcasts is you have to, like, submit your stuff to iTunes and submit your stuff to Google and submit your stuff to Stitcher and all that stuff. So we should be up and operational. You should be able to find us wherever you find your podcasts. And if we're not where you listen to podcasts, please let me know, and I'll make sure that we get there. And then we can start tracking the listens,
which is exciting. Rebranding was going to be so much work.
It is a lot of work, but you know what? It's fun. It's kind of refreshing, actually.
It is.
I'm excited.
It's a nice, fresh, clean start, I think.
Yeah.
It's a good breakaway. And a good chance to really sort of test our chops.
Right. Well, it's funny, too, because we're... So we've been doing the mentorship program. This is the first week of mentorship program.
Mm-hmm.
You probably saw the why video
which and it may have confused you. You were probably asking yourself why.
You were probably like, why? Why am I seeing
why
this video?
Why is this video in my feed? Makes no sense.
Yeah, but it was interesting because it really got... We have... I don't know, 30 or so mentees, and we had to cut it off. We have people, like, constantly asking to be in the group, unfortunately,
it's just too much.
We are giving a lot of individual attention to folks. That was the goal we set out. Mm-hmm. So just in order to continue to do that, we kind of have to keep it smaller.
Right.
That's why we're putting the videos up public, so that you guys can kind of play along from home. Feel free to still reach out to us.
Right.
But it was interesting because we had the Y video up, and I really got to illustrate how we've taken what our Y is and pivoted. And that's what, you know, we really talked about, like, taking back, like, I'm not just a YouTube channel. I'm not just delivering content in a certain space.
Mm-hmm.
My bigger purpose is, like, you know, this bigger thing.
Right.
And so you can kind of step back, pivot, and then, like, push your energy in a different direction, come up with, like, a whole different channel in our case.
Exactly. And if you think about
it, still kind of share the same sort of passions, which is neat.
Exactly. But
yeah.
If you think about, like, our channel, I mean, a lot of people came to our channel.
Yeah.
Like, to watch us. Like, they were initially drawn by the game title. All right, I'm looking up a game. I'm going to watch this game.
Yeah.
And then they stuck around to hear us banter and us just kind of share stories about...
Yeah.
Our lives and just anything else, right? Just got hooked on us.
Yeah.
So to pivot to a channel that does videos really just about us talking about stuff is not really a far stretch from
it to, like, you guys are, like, maybe you used to come over to our house for game night and now, like, you're coming over and we're just, like, hanging out, eating fancy cheese and grapes and stuff.
Right.
And, like, I don't know, at least in my mind.
Like, exactly. Like, it's a different sort of... It's a more intimate relationship now with us versus just, hey, we're just watching you play games and we're kind of, like, peeking in and at your table or sitting at your table watching you two play.
That's so creepy.
But yeah, not in such a creepy way, but now you're actually in the house with us and we're talking about other stuff, right?
Yeah.
At some point, we're going to bring games back into the discussion. Not this week, though.
Yeah,
I think we're going to take a break from it and just really kind of let it kind of wash away and then sort of hit reset on that as well. But at this point, we're just really... focusing on other things that we do. Because we don't just sit and play board games all day.
Yes, contrary to popular belief.
Contrary to what you may believe, we may play one or two games a week at most, and we haven't played a game in a while now. So so it's not really a topic that's on the top of our list. And I think there's a lot of other exciting things to talk about.
Like
So yeah, why don't we go through our
list let's go through our thing.
Topics,
okay.
Right?
So what we have up first, I think, is our, we're going to call it Flicks and Chill.
Flicks and Chill, yeah.
We just don't for copyright
no
purposes.
Copyright infringement.
No copyright infringement.
So Flicks and Chill, which is really just a lot of what we're streaming, right? Because we're all stuck inside of streaming shows.
Yeah.
This is great information for anybody who's looking for something else to watch, mm-hmm. just to get our opinions on what's good and what's bad. Because you're not subscribed to, probably not subscribed to every single streaming outlet out there, but this gives you an idea of what you may want to look into subscribing to, at least for a short time.
Right.
To sort of be able to really binge all their good stuff.
Yes.
And then, move
and then
on,
dump them.
Right? Yeah. So there's a lot of shows we've watched over the last year.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we've watched just about everything good.
Yeah.
So we're in a position to talk about all of it without giving away spoilers.
Yeah. I'm going to try really hard. Yeah.
So we'll go with that. Let's see. We'll go with, books, again, that was a really, based on
everybody
comments
liked
and feedback,
that.
Really good feedback on the book section, so mm-hmm. the bookshelf.
Yes.
When we talk about books we've read or books we're currently reading, I've read hundreds and hundreds of fantasy and sci-fi books over the over the last few decades, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've got a laundry list of books to share, and you know, if we share one or two,
Read the best of those.
Yes, you've read the best of those. And you know, a lot of folks mentioned other books, a lot of which we've already read, or at least mm-hmm. I have. Some that I've not, which we're going to look into, which is pretty cool. And finally, we'll close out with sort of a tech.
We're going to talk about tech. And we've got a couple of different,
two or three different
kind of geeky tech or like kind of, you know, interesting tech we'll get to. And then got some baby tech.
Some baby tech.
We've got
those,
like
new parents.
All the baby tech.
We do have all the baby tech.
So we'll be covering all the baby tech.
Give you a sneak peek on some of the tech we're using today and and what we think about it. So let's jump into the first section, Flicks and Chill.
All right.
Okay, so the first show we're going to talk about, right? So this is a show on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
Came out in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those shows that I saw an advertisement for.
An advertisement?
An advertisement, and pulled it up and said, hey, let's watch this. Because we always look for, so like our routine is pretty.
Tell them the routine.
It's
pretty. It's the same as how I perceive the routine.
Okay, so in my mind, this is the routine I see. We, every mealtime, like our day is so segmented and it's based around when the kids eat.
Yeah.
When the baby eats, and when we sit down for, like, I don't eat breakfast, so nothing happens between breakfast and lunch. But at lunchtime, I'll get, you know, we'll get our lunch together. I'll get my food. You'll get yours. We'll get to the living room.
Uh-huh.
We'll sit down. I'll put the TV on, and whatever series we're watching, we'll watch an episode while we eat. And then we'll do the same thing at dinner.
Right.
And watch another episode. And then if we get to bed early, we'll watch another episode or two.
Yeah.
That's kind of how our daily routine is.
Yes.
And we watch a lot of series, and then we run through series and movies way too fast this way. But you know what? That's what
I thought you were going to call me out for, like, not being into every series we've ever
watched. Oh, that too. I didn't even go into that part of it. So every time I go to put on a show, she's like, not really interested. After the first episode, she's like, okay, can we watch another episode of the show?
Yeah.
And then she wants to binge the rest of it. So
at least I admit it.
You do.
Because like, the thing is, like, I'll put on my shows because I have my own, like, you know, TV time.
Which we'll talk about one of those.
We'll talk about it, in a minute. And like, usually that's when you're playing your video games. Like, mm-hmm. I'll turn on my show, and you'll be like, did he just say that?
Yeah. Like,
what's going on?
I'll,
oh,
like,
is that?
Listen,
like, we'll talk
to
about it later.
While I'm playing on the computer, because my computer's in the bedroom, so it all kind of happens. We're all in the same room doing stuff. She's doing her thing, I'm doing mine, but I do listen to what she's got going on.
I know. So anyway, but the thing is, these shows that we're going to be talking about are like ones that, I don't know, for me it takes like a little while to get into them because I'm kind of a, I guess I'm like that way with books too. I don't like starting new like relationships.
New
I'm like very
critical. Yeah.
I'm cynical. Like, I'm like, I don't know if I like this.
And then I introduce you to a new series of books, and then you do the same thing.
I do the same thing because I get so like in love with like the characters and the story of like one book or one
hooked.
Show.
Like, she wasn't sure about fantasy or sci-fi.
And then I'm like, I don't like when it's over. I get really angry and like kind of cranky. And then I start the new one,
mm-hmm.
and I'm cranky about it. Until I get like to the end of the show,
and then you love it.
Okay, I want to watch.
Yes, and then she ends up loving it. So,
The first show.
This was a very strange show on HBO Max.
Yeah, it was very weird.
It's called Raised by Wolves.
Very weird.
The description of the show on IMDb is: androids are tasked with raising human children on a mysterious planet.
Not just raising them,
well,
bearing them.
Yes, in a way, but I wouldn't even go into any of that. But you're going to see that.
It's weird.
And it is really interesting, mm-hmm. to say the least. I'd say the first episode, I was kind of like, eh.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Even the second episode, I was like,
yeah, this one took a while to kind of figure out,
yeah.
not just what was going on, but like, it was very slow.
Very slow. And it was very, and it really didn't explain a lot at first of
right.
why things were happening or what in the world was going on.
Right.
And you're really trying to follow, you know, these androids mm-hmm. that are raising these human children on a mysterious planet, and you don't even know why they're there.
Right.
Why they're raising these kids or to what extent things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
It is a pretty dark, gory show.
Yeah, very
and
much
it
so.
It is dark and gory. So this is definitely a rated R show.
Yeah.
I would say equivalent to like an Aliens movie. It almost felt kind of like an Aliens movie.
It did. And not just is it gory, but
not
there's
gory,
like,
yeah, but
there's
just
a lot of death.
Yes.
Like a lot.
Yeah, it reminds me of that, the last sort of Aliens like spin-off prequel movie that was on a few years ago. I don't remember the name of it, but it was like that. And it
right.
was kind of like, I don't know, just very weird.
Well, and the fact
Alien
that...
Covenant or Prometheus. It
right,
reminded
Prometheus.
Me a lot of
it
Prometheus.
It did, actually. But the thing is, like, the thing that got me, the weird factor with this one, is that it's like kids.
Yeah.
It's like these androids, but then it's like a bunch of kids, also going through these weird, without giving anything away,
yeah.
it's like they're experiencing all of this. And it's a lot of darkness, a lot of like stuff you definitely would never want your own kids to ever
right.
have to think about or experience or see or witness. And that's kind of the point, actually,
yeah.
of the show. You know, is all of this.
And I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Strange. Yeah.
Down the road after you all see it on sort of the way it ended, because the ending was just like,
not that they'll want to watch it because we're really selling it here.
Yeah, I mean the ending was like, what in the world is
yeah.
this? Is like it just went like way out there. So like, look, it's an interesting story.
Compium.
Compium. Mother. I need
well,
purpose.
Well, like they don't even have like it's. Can I? I mean, I want to kind of go into a little bit without giving too much away, right?
Well, yeah, there's definitely it's. Full of spoilers if we actually start talking about certain things.
True.
Which is why we're kind of skating around.
Right. But here's the thing. You've got your kind of like sort of typical android / human themes, like
mm-hmm.
androids so developed that maybe they're taking on more than just human characteristics.
They're very human.
They're very human-like. And, you know, and you have them kind of, are they programmed with certain emotions? Are they feeling certain things? You've got them kind of programmed to be mother and father, but they're
mm-hmm.
not taking on like traditional gender roles.
Yeah.
So that part is fascinating. So I think that the show itself was really well done from a direction standpoint, it really is a very good show.
Yeah.
But
it's strange.
Very strange.
Yeah. It really twists your mind.
You're gonna need like a palate cleanser.
Yeah, and it's very and it's a lot about religion. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
It's a very
it's a
big
lot of content.
Part
yeah, yes.
Of
very
it's,
much
it's
so.
Definitely, it's a futuristic.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot to do with religion. Not that it's preaching in any way. It's
no,
just
no,
a
no.
big part of the story. And,
well, yeah, exactly.
And we'll just leave it at that. So,
yeah.
Recommend or no?
Recommend with a palate cleanser. I think we watched like Great British Bake Off.
Afterwards.
At the same time
yeah.
that we watched
to kind of wash this.
Just wash all the darkness
away. It's very
away.
Heavy. It's very
yeah.
heavy. And
yeah.
it can really stick in your head for a while.
And definitely, definitely not with the kids.
No.
Not even with them around.
This is not a kid's show.
Not a kid's
One
show.
Bit. So, Raised
yeah.
by Wolves, HBO Max.
Yeah.
Recommend with a palate cleanser.
Queued yeah.
up to kind of...
Yeah, and you
refresh.
And the thing is, if you're gonna watch it, you do have to commit to a couple episodes because the first few are
yeah, it's a little
very,
it starts out slow,
very slow,
and it's really weird.
It is very
so,
weird.
That's
yeah.
the first
you've
one. Raised by
warned.
Wolves. Yes, you've been warned.
Yes.
Now this second show
is good.
And spoiler is
so
absolutely
good.
Phenomenal.
Oh,
I couldn't
so
recommend
good.
This show.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
This is a show on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
season. It's got two seasons. Season two ended last year.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're working on season three now.
Yeah.
This show, I put it on. You were not at all into this one from the beginning.
Again, it was our typical first episode. Yeah. I wasn't really into it because the first episode was kind of like, in your face.
In your face, like, literally.
Stuff happens, yeah, you will be right,
like,
away.
In the first 2 minutes of the first episode, you're
like,
what?
What are we watching? Like, what is this?
Yeah, so.
But oh man, I got into it.
Yeah.
We
just couldn't get enough of this show. The show is called The Boys.
Yes.
Yeah. And this show is about superheroes, like, believe it or not. And it's been out. Like, the first season was already out. The second season, which had just come out. We hadn't even, like, watched it.
No,
and I'm like,
no,
it's a show about superheroes. Why haven't we watched this?
And I think your friend had recommended it.
Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, let's give it a go. And, oh, my God, this show is so good.
Yeah, so what I like about this is that it's, like, if you're not familiar with, I think, the comic, right?
Mm-hmm.
That this is, like, kind of built around the boys, like the main kind of protagonists, mm-hmm. if you will, that you're following throughout the show, are sort of these, like, vigilante, not superheroes, normal
right.
people kind of
yeah.
So folks. It's guys and girls.
In a world of superheroes, right?
But, like, the superheroes are commercialized.
Yeah.
So they're bad. Like, they're a product of a commercial America,
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So it's kind of like, you're dealing with all of that. Like, they're almost like celebrities in a way.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who they are. They're in all the movies and all this kind of thing. And they're just, like, all have issues. Like, they're all, you know, are coming for, they're either, you know,
they're just not
bad folks,
yeah,
or whatever.
They're just,
but,
like, imagine if you gave celebrities superpowers.
Right.
What world would be like.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah.
Like, just people that are just
not that all celebrities are bad. I'm just saying, like,
It's about judgment, right? And, and a lot of these people are really more about the heroes, or more about their image than anything else, right?
Because
that's above all else is the thing. So this is a gory, gory show. There are buckets of blood in this show.
But I would say it's funny, though, because, like, when you compare, like, goriness factor of, like, The Boys to, like, Raised by Wolves, for example, I felt more like I needed, like, a shower after Raised by Wolves.
Really?
I did. Not necessarily this one, because to me, this was, even though it's, like, a live show, it came across more like comics.
It is.
You know what I mean?
It's definitely,
like, so it's like the way it's,
so,
not that, like, the blood is blue or something,
no,
or whatever,
but
it came,
like,
across more like that, if that makes sense.
I guess you could say that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's gory.
But it is very gory. It's very
really
in your
gory.
Face.
Yeah.
But it's so good.
And if I were to rate this, I'd say NC-17.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh,
there are
for
some adult,
so many reasons.
There are adult sexual themes going on in here that are just in your face.
Yes.
So
it
is definitely not a kid's,
very weird.
A kid's show.
Yeah.
It's got some really big name actors in this.
Yeah.
Like, the main character is Carl Urban.
Yes.
If you're familiar with Carl Urban, he plays Éomer in the Lord of the Rings series, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's one of the Riders of Rohan, as you know.
I
as
do,
you well know.
As I well know.
He was all, you. I think he was also,
I can picture
in,
his face.
I think he was also in the Doom movie.
He has a beard in this one.
He was also, he plays Dr. McCoy in the new Star Trek movies.
Yes.
What else was he in?
I think that pretty much.
No, he was also in the Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh, that's right.
I am a big Carl Urban fan, so he was definitely a draw for the show.
And he just nailed it.
Another actor, and this is named Jack Quaid, which I didn't realize is Dennis Quaid and Meg Ryan's son.
Yes.
He plays a really good character as well.
Yeah, he does. Who he kind of plays, like, his, I don't want to say, like, his foil, but, like, his,
sidekick, almost. They're not
heroes.
Yeah,
I was really reluctant to say sidekick, but, like, they're working together.
He kind of keeps them straight.
They're boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all in sort of this group, and
right.
We don't want to give too much of the plot away, but I think, like, if there was any show I'd recommend, this is definitely one you need to watch.
Yeah.
There are some other good ones on Amazon Prime, which we'll go through in a later episode. I can think of one or two right off the top of my head that I would be oohing and aahing about and highly recommending as well.
Yeah.
But this one for this episode is definitely my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this one's definitely
hands
good.
Down. If you like superheroes, you like violence, you like gore, adult themes.
Well, I would say, like for me, this was like, we watch all the superhero movies and all that stuff. This to me was like refreshing in like such a satisfying way, and I can't describe it, but it was, you know, like what?
I just thought this kind of reminds me of that Will Smith movie where he plays that drunk superhero. Not drunk, but he's like kind of just like whatever, and he just kind of.
Which one?
Oh, I forget the name of it.
With the dog?
No, that's, he wasn't actually a superhero in that movie. He was actually, I believe, a scientist.
I think he was saving the world, though.
And he was trying to cure a zombie plague.
Okay.
It was just the name of the movie had.
He was a superhero?
It was just the name of him, his character. It was called Hancock.
Oh. Okay, yeah, I could see that.
Right?
I could see that. I could see that for sure.
He was a reckless
superhero. Vigilante kind of superhero guy.
Yeah, where he was just like, whatever.
Except
like,
that in this case, they're not superheroes.
Well, the boys aren't.
The boys are not. They're like the vigilante good guys, but they're like
superheroes.
Bad guys.
Yeah, it's.
But the superheroes are also bad guys, but they're supposed to be good guys. And like,
and they all have like different powers. Yeah. And just,
it was just so, like, just mixed up your traditional, like, here's your superhero. He's going to go save the day. We're going to go save
If you haven't seen The Boys yet,
Definitely go see
there's
it.
There's no reason in the world you should be watching the show. Unless you don't have Amazon Prime.
Or unless you have kids around like all the time and you have no time to yourself.
But this is definitely
do not let your kids watch the show.
Definitely one to watch. Now, so those are two shows we've watched.
Yes, right? That we're done with. Waiting on new seasons.
So Raised by Wolves Season 2, definitely going to watch that just because we're already... Yeah. Committed. We've already seen the first one. Boys Season 3 will be. I can't wait.
I know.
All right. So one we're watching now is on the Netflix.
It's on the net.
Yeah. And this is actually an older series. It's been on since 2018. And I believe there's two seasons out. And Season 3, I think, is coming. So what do you think about this one?
This one is also, it's good. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to go watch more episodes right now.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
That's a good sign.
But a little bit, like, unbelievable in parts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you my biggest kind of, I don't know, my biggest weird thing about it after we explain what this show is.
Mm-hmm.
So this show is Lost in Space.
It is.
And it is about... folks lost.
Yeah, so this show is based on an original show that was done like, I don't know, 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s, somewhere a long, long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
That had a similar premise about this the Robinson family.
Right.
Who gets lost in space, obviously. And they have a robot. And, you know, danger, Will Robinson.
Right.
Like that was the old, like, robot. So they made a movie about this a while back. And starring... Joey.
Oh, it's Joey.
What's his name? LeBlanc.
Yeah, Matt LeBlanc.
Right? So he was like one of the characters in the movie. The girl from Party of Five was in it. Like, there was a whole movie. And I thought it was actually a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So when the series Lost in Space came out, we actually watched the first episode a while ago.
Yeah.
Like, in 2018.
Right. And we were kind of like...
I didn't even get through the first episode.
Yeah.
And I was just like, yeah, it just doesn't hook in.
Well, because the thing is, like, when it starts out, I think this was my big thing about it. Not that I'm against, like, kids going on adventures. I think that's great. But the first episode or two, maybe three of this particular series, maybe two. I think it was two, and then it started getting good.
Mm-hmm.
Was kind of like, it's like kids lost in... like on a planet because they got, you know, shipwrecked, like like Robinson Crusoe type of thing.
Well, the Swiss
space,
Family Robinson.
Which is fine. Cool story. But I just couldn't really like get behind it. And I was just kind of like, it just didn't connect with me. But it's getting better. Like, it's a good story,
okay.
I think. I don't know. Maybe I'm learning more about myself and my tastes because I'm like, give me some more gore.
No, this isn't. So this is, I would rate this one PG-13.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I guess because they say shit once in it.
They do. Isn't that their rating?
That's my rating system. It's said once. So I think that's what I'd give it a PG rating because it's very tame.
Yeah, I will say, like, I like the, there's a particular doctor in this show that I won't get into, but the character development I think is pretty good across the board.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of episodic. Like, it just kind of feels so far, like every episode they're like sort of getting into another issue on the journey towards,
that's just how these shows go though, isn't it? Like, you've got some kind of protagonist, and then you've got the antagonist, and then
you have the foil.
They try to do that, and then they get
the denouement.
Foiled again, and then you know they get through, and everybody's happy at the end. Like,
yeah, I just
kind of has like those arcs.
I know, and it does. But the thing is, like, I'm just screaming at the television a lot of the time with this one, and I'm sort of hoping, like, some of the character lines, I'm hoping they kind of like start to progress, because we have a lot of like static characters that are just like constantly bad guys that I'm like, are you a bad guy, but like you're trying to be a good guy,
and you got, like,
sort of like
guys,
you, but like you wouldn't really let them get away with the kind of stuff that they're letting them get
and
away
the good
with.
Guys know what the bad guys are doing,
right?
But they don't know what they're doing, which is like, how do you not know this person's bad still? Like,
exactly.
They've crossed you three times already, and you're going to trust that they're going to do this again? Like, stop it.
Yeah, it's a little weird. And then you have, like, the main family, the Robinson family, is made up of, like, a bunch of kids who are, like, brilliant.
They're all so smart.
And they're also smart. And they're, like, the kid's, like, 12, and he's like some kind of scientist, you know what I mean? And like the other daughter is like 18, she's like a doctor, you know? And that's
then you have the
awesome.
Rebellious daughter,
and you have like the rebellious daughter, and all she wants to do is write books, and like that's cool. But again, like, to me, I'm just like I'm not really connecting with it as much. But that being said, I do want to watch more episodes.
Okay.
So
I like this one.
Yeah.
I think I like it more than you do.
Yeah,
I just as I gotta tell you, like, there's a couple reasons why. One, I like the story. Two, I think the special effects on this show are Hollywood quality.
Like, that is the one thing we do keep commenting on.
Some of the best effects.
We kind of forget that it's a Netflix show.
It's a Netflix show. This is like...
And each episode is actually very long.
Hour long.
Where, like, with, like, the boys, it was kind of like... I think they were half
an
hour
episodes. No,
were they?
Oh, yeah.
They were 45 minutes or
so? They were like an hour.
Okay.
They were long. They were long, too. But the special effects... Didn't need to be that good in the
they
boys.
They didn't, no. These,
in this,
this was
it's
really,
like,
really good. Yeah.
Off the charts good. Like,
yeah.
It is like movie quality.
Right.
Hands down. I can't imagine the budget for this film, for this series.
Yeah.
But it's really, really good. The acting's pretty good, too.
It is good. Yeah.
So, there's a lot of... Here's the thing. When I compare this show to the one we just watched, Another Life, which is a similar traveling through space...
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, like, drama happening.
Yeah. Oh, I would watch this one
This
over.
One over that any
yeah.
day of the week. I think
right.
this one is 1,000 times better.
Yeah,
than
I think
Another
so,
Life.
Too.
I think the, again, the acting, the quality of the
right.
video.
Well, that's
special
Another
effects.
Life is just kind of weird.
Yeah, this is not weird.
Yeah.
There's some really cool twists that they do throw in there.
Yeah.
A lot of, like, reasons behind why things are happening, they do explain, and that's really good as we're getting through it. So we're like halfway through season two now. But I think we're far enough into this show that I would definitely say it's worth the watch.
Okay.
Get past the first few episodes.
Yeah.
Even though they're not that slow, I think it was just getting in the right mindset to want to watch this.
Yeah.
And I think once I got through the first one, I was like, yeah, you know what, this is something I want to continue to watch. And then as we continue going, I'm more and more into the story.
Yeah. Okay.
So
cool.
That's Lost in Space.
Nice.
All right, so for our last show, you can talk about this one, because I haven't been watching this one. This
He's
one's
been
all
listening in the background.
I listen. But...
Yeah. So I've been watching Bridgerton.
Bridgerton. Lord Bridgerton.
This is one that, I mean, I don't know. I'm pretty sure, like, it's, like, one of those number one on Netflix. Like, you have to watch it. I had, like, some of my friends watched it. They're like, I binged the whole thing. I think they just wanted to watch The Duke. but it's pretty good. It's just kind of like, here's what I like about it. It's one of these shows. This is not sci-fi at all, by the way. This is a Victorian era.
Yes.
Like, what's happening is they have these arranged marriages, and there's like a season for kind of marrying off the aristocracy. And
it's like watching a show of obsession.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what it's like. Pride and Prejudice
in
England.
To tie
yeah.
in a board,
in a
game,
board
game reference. Yes.
There you go. That is exactly what it's like. And I watch this show, and I'm a very, like, Victorian era lover. Like, I love the fashion. I love, like, the colors, and I like the wallpaper, and, like, I'm just really into it. So I want to, like, live there minus the arranged marriages.
Mm.
But what I like about this is that it's one of these shows where they have, it's set in an older time, but all the music in the show is modern.
Yes, that is. I did notice that.
They have, like, I don't know one of the examples, but they had, I don't know, like.
I think there was a. Thank you, next.
Yeah, like an Ariana Grande
was playing
song.
On,
but it
like,
was
cello
like they're doing
and
cello and violin stuff, and I'm just like, oh, like, be still my heart.
That's
like,
so cool.
I love it.
Yeah, that
so
was pretty
much.
Cool.
So that part I really love, and it's a very, like, romantic, kind of witty, quirky story about this girl who's getting married off, or she's like being offered up to get married off, or whatever the case is, and she's like not having it, you know, and she's very like punchy, you know, like literally, she's, you know, she doesn't want to be married off, and then this Duke who kind of comes into the picture, and they decide, hey, we're gonna like play everybody, and so neither of us have to get married off, so we're just gonna like be friends for a while, and that's kind of where I'll leave it, because that's where I'm at with it right now. I think I'm on like episode 4.
Okay.
But there's been so much story so far, and I texted my friends last night. I'm like, where's this gonna go? Because I'm already on episode 4, and I don't know what's happening. And there's one season. I know there's another season or more, I think, in production. But it's just a nice one to kind of, you know, watch while
I'm... It's good to listen to while I'm playing World of Tanks.
Exactly. He's like in his World of Tanks, and I'm just like laying there watching British Nap the Baby Goes to Sleep.
Yeah,
so
I bounce between, well, lately it's been World of Tanks, but before that it was like League of Legends. So we play with a group of friends that we bounce between a lot of like PvP type games.
Yeah.
So this is what I listen to.
Yeah. So I love this one. I love the acting. I love the casting. I love that it's like a diverse cast.
Yeah,
again,
it's
like
good.
It's like if you took all of like our modern like culture and like diversity that you find in like America, music and all of this stuff, and like put everybody back in Victorian times.
Yeah.
That's like what it would look like.
Yeah.
And it's such a cool marriage.
It is really cool.
No pun intended.
Oh.
But I really like it.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I yet to recommend. I'll say yet to recommend.
Too
but
soon.
I'm liking it so far.
Too soon.
Okay.
Too soon.
Yes.
All right. Well, that wraps up all of the flicks and chill that we have for today's episode.
All right.
Let's move on to the bookshelf.
Okay.
All right. Bookshelf.
I feel like we need like a little segment that's like going to the bookshelf.
Like a little animated segment?
Getting a book off the bookshelf. I don't know. Like we need like...
Okay.
Like a transition thing, you know what I mean?
That's we'll
not
come
just
up
a
with something.
Title slide.
Okay, we'll have to be creative.
Well,
we'll come up with something.
Okay.
Too soon. This is only episode 2. And you already,
I have big dreams.
You've blown our budget way out of the water.
Right.
So we're going to talk about a couple of books that we've read.
Okay.
We are in the process of reading books.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very slow process right now because this is a normal driving commute. Listen to the book on the way to and from work. And I don't get to do that.
Yeah, you do your books on commute. I, in my real life, when I'm working, not working at home, I'm on the road like usually 6 hours a day.
Right.
So I like eat books
yes.
on the road, which is why the fantasy series are great.
Which is good because they're so long.
I've been doing paperback in hand, and I've actually been getting back into reading some books on paper. So
that's good, though.
It's really good.
It's like going old school.
I love it.
Took me a while. I miss it. I'm not really sure if I could. I have the skills to do that anymore.
I don't know if you have the eyesight
when
to
you,
do that.
I definitely have the. I have the readers for that. But I got to tell you, when you really get into reading, like actual physical reading of books, when I used to get on the train and go to New York every day, I would, as soon as I walk on the train, I'd crack my book and I would just read.
Right.
I would close it as soon as I got to the next stop, get on the path, go into New York, I'd read more. And then I'd have it down to a science. But I was reading at a point where I didn't even feel like I was reading anymore, that the words were just kind of going in my head, and I was just picturing the story in my head.
Yes.
It was a very weird, cool place to be.
It's neat because, like, I was kind of the same way when I started. You got me on audiobooks because I'm like a traditionalist when it comes to my books. I like paper and all that stuff. So when I was doing these really long drives, you're like, use my Audible account, like try these books out. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to like like somebody read me a story, I'm going to get distracted, you
Yeah.
know? But as we talk through the books that we have read together or that we've experienced, you know, at separate times, I almost can't remember if it was a movie that I saw or a book that I read, because I can still see those pictures in my head of what I've crafted from reading this book. And it is the same experience as reading paper, and I appreciate it.
It's wonderful. So if you haven't tried an audiobook or you're afraid to try
it,
give it a shot, because it is...
And just let the reader
let him go.
Take you away.
And I'll tell
like
you,
how gone.
You would be driving and you'll get to work and you won't get out of your car for a few minutes if you're a little early. And
I
you'll
know.
Sit and listen to that next part.
Or you sit in the driveway.
So good. Yeah. Or you'll get
and
home
like,
and you'll be like,
doing?
Okay, I just need to finish this chapter because it's so good right
now.
It's amazing. So
yeah.
We're going to cover three different books
or
series of books.
Mm-hmm.
Some books, some series.
Yeah.
That we've, you've read or
yes.
we've read.
Yeah.
But the first one.
We've both read.
Yeah, we're going to cover this one author, and I'm going to probably go over a bunch of books written by this particular author, because he's certainly become one of my favorite authors, and he should be of no surprise to any of you who do read fantasy or sci-fi. His name is Brandon Sanderson, and I first came upon Brandon Sanderson's work when I was reading a series called The Wheel of Time.
Oh, right.
And I told you about this one. So The Wheel of Time is a fantasy series, and I'll actually talk about that in a later show and give my recommendations on that one. But it is like a 12-book series of like 1,000-page-plus books each. They are long. And if you're talking about audiobooks, we're talking about like 30-plus hours per book. Extremely long. Unfortunately, before the series was done, the author passed away. The author's wife had all the notes on how the story was supposed to finish. We're talking about an epic series, almost didn't get finished. They hired Brandon Sanderson to come in and write the last few books. So he did that and knocked it out of the park, in my opinion. I thought he did a phenomenal job. And you know, we were able to finish that series and bring some closure to it, which was fantastic. So I'm like, oh, this guy did such a good job. Let me see what else he's written. So that led us to this series of books. It's a three-book series, and we thought it would fit well with this episode of our podcast, because we're sticking with the superhero theme.
Kind of,
we talked about The Boys earlier.
Right.
This one is kind of in the same vein.
Definitely, yeah.
And it's
The
called,
Boys of Fantasy.
The series is called The Reckoners,
but
the first book you'll start with is called Steelheart. I had put off reading this series for a long time, just because I don't know why I was turned off by the superhero theme in a book, and I'm like, how good is this going to be? I was really into fantasy at the time, and I just finally thought, and I was like, hey, let's give this one a shot. You should listen to it. I'll listen to it. We'll see how it is.
And it was
man.
So good.
Now, tie it into board game again. There is a board game called The Reckoners. It's actually a dice game, which we have. I really enjoy it, that game, because it is so true to these books. I think they did such a really good job with fleshing that out and really making it feel like you're actually reliving the story. But the premise of The Reckoners is that you've got a group of anti-superheroes, just like The Boys.
Yes.
But in this world, the superheroes actually are evil.
Yeah.
They are not good, and they are just terrible people. And no one understands why.
Right.
So certain people got powers, others didn't. Those who got powers basically are just...
Use them for evil.
Use them for evil.
Yeah.
Use them to rule the world, basically, in their own way. And some are stronger than others. And, you know, these Reckoners are trying to fight against them.
Right.
Phenomenal story.
It's so good.
It's such a good story. It follows this one main character. It follows the whole Reckoners crew. And in their struggle against trying to really to end the tyranny that these superheroes have brought to the world. And it's just so well done. So well written. The characters are fantastic. And if you've played the board game, you'll recognize the characters, because they took all the characters right from the books.
Yeah. No, it's a really, really good series. And this was one of the ones that were like, we sit in the driveway when we get home, and it's like, oh no, but I'm finishing like this one chapter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh man, when I got when I finished the series, this is one that I was disappointed that it ended, because I was like, you've got to continue this story. It's so good. But it does, close. Like, it comes to a nice,
it does. It comes to a really, really
wrapped
nice,
up ending.
Nice ending.
I'm not saying it's good or bad. Yeah. I don't want to give any of that away, but it does, it does like close the circle.
Epically.
Yeah.
Epically.
And it really, it makes the whole series worth the listen or the read.
Yeah. And I would say this one we particularly recommend because it has closure.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the fantasy series that we read, I know a lot of them that you've read are already done, but some of the ones that we're still reading, we're like waiting for
they're
them
still
to
going,
end.
Yeah.
So it's like I recommend some of them to, you know, to folks that are asking what to read or what I've been reading. And it's like, but I can't really recommend that you start it now because you're going to have to wait like who knows when for like
for
the final book to come out or whatever. But this one is, you know, I think it's three books, right?
It's three books.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're three books. Big story arc, great characters,
so good,
and like you're done.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really, really
it's
good.
Really, really well done.
It's hard to talk about these Vikings explorers away.
I know, because there's you want to kind of relive.
I do, yeah.
And share the enjoyment of these, and those of you who've already read them know what
I would read
about.
The whole series again.
I would do it again. Yeah. This is one I would definitely read. So highly, highly recommend this one. Definitely. Just to go kind of off topic a little bit.
Sure.
We just so you, in case you're curious of what we're actually reading right now, we brought up a narrator,
R.C.
Bray, last episode, as one of our favorite narrators,
audible
narrators.
Readers,
And he does another series called The Expeditionary Force.
Yes.
And it is a science fiction space, military/space.
Yeah. More space than military.
More space than military, but there is a military, but it's not all about military.
But it's not. They're more like a merry band of pirates.
Well, let's put it that way. Not giving anything away. It's on like book 8, I think.
Yeah.
And I love this series.
It's more. I love it as well. Obviously, it's one that will kind of you'll laugh.
You'll
cry.
You will. You'll do all of
you
these
will,
things.
You'll kind of hold your breath because you think it's over.
Yeah.
And you're like, how are they going to recover from what just happened?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? That was one. It's funny when because we're reading them together, like we'll be like, what part are you on?
Yeah, because we can't even talk about
would
it.
What just happened? Like, where's Skippy right now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's cool. And the characters in that are amazing.
So good.
So funny. Such good dynamic, like, between them.
The banter. You want to talk about banter?
Oh,
it's just, I mean, you will actually laugh out loud.
You will.
It's freaking
it is
hilarious.
And that's one I would recommend, even though it's not done yet.
It's still going.
And
you won't
books.
Want it to finish.
You're
trust
not going to. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. There's eight of them.
You're
and
not
going
to, like, catch up anytime soon.
They're
so
long books.
I would start that one, too. But yeah, we'll talk about that one, I think, at a future episode.
Yeah, we'll definitely go through it more when we get, if it ever ends.
And again, reading them, R.C. Bray doing the audible
so good.
Is amazing.
Yeah, look, he is this character. I couldn't imagine anyone else being any of these characters.
No.
So if they were ever to make a movie, they would need his voice.
They would.
Yeah.
For all the characters.
For all
they
the
just
characters.
Have such a voice
he does them all. Because he does them all. He does them all so well, trust me.
Yeah.
All right, so back on topic.
Okay, back on topic.
We'll go to your book.
Oh, you want to go to my book?
Yeah, and then we'll finish off with the last
series. So this is not a sci-fi book.
No.
But she is a superhero.
Oh, is she, though?
Of tidying.
Oh.
So my superhero book is a book by Marie Kondo, and it has tabs in it, so you know it is very well read by me. I bring this one up, kind of jokes aside. If you know anything about Marie Kondo, she is the author of The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, which sounds very floofy, but it's a book that I discovered years ago, before she was famous on Netflix, by the way. And it's all about kind of her method of organization. But her method is not just, you know, cleaning out and all of this. It really has to do with amassing everything you own, everything tangible that you have in a certain category. You know, let's say all of your clothing, and you bring it all out from all areas of the house, all into a giant pile, so that you can see just how much crap that you have amassed in one spot. Because what a lot of people do, I guess, is go like room by room, and it's like really hard to tell what you actually own. So you do that, and then you kind of, the way I do it is like you kind of like shop your own pile of crap, I guess. But the idea is that you're only keeping things in your life that bring you joy. And that kind of spark this energy inside of you that makes you want to take care of them. And I love this attitude because I think we do live in kind of a society that tends to be more materialistic. Mm-hmm. We are very fast paced. We want everything now. We want everything in volume and bulk and all this kind of thing. So it was a really cool thing from the beginning for me. This book is her new book. It's called Joy at Work. Hmm. She has two books prior to this. Like I said, Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up. And also she has like a how to tidy kind of book. But this one's called Joy at Work. And it's also co-written by Sonen Sheen, who is also the author of Stretch. So he is a psychologist of sorts, I believe, as well. And basically what this book takes you through is organizing your professional life. So taking those, I actually, when I got it, I kind of thought it was going to be like how to organize your desk, you know, using her method, which she does talk about in there. But it's actually about tidying things like your network, your friends list, you know, really taking a hard look at the non-tangible things that are taking up space in your life, in your mind, taking your energy away from the things that actually matter to you, and identifying what those things that really matter to you are so that you can dedicate energy there. So she talks about, for example, tidying your network, like I said, really going through and deciding, like, you know, instead of collecting contacts and collecting, you know, a network of people, really identifying, like, which of these people do I really want to connect with? Who am I providing value to? Who's providing value to me? That kind of thing. Really being intentional about who you keep in your network. And then from there, tidying things like decisions. So that was one of the most fascinating things about this book was, like, taking somebody like me who tends to have like analysis paralysis about everything, like I overthink everything.
Right.
And I'm kind of a perfectionist about making sure that I make the right decisions all the time. And it stresses me out. So one of the things she goes over is like taking all of your decisions that you make in your job, like she's what she's talking about, but deciding which of those are like low priority, which are kind of medium priority, medium impact, and which ones are actually decisions that matter to you, and saving your energy for those, automating the ones that don't really matter or delegating them maybe to somebody else.
Okay.
And that way you're kind of left with only the decisions, network, you know, desktop items,
right.
You know, things that really matter to you, and kind of make all that stuff shine. When you get rid of all the stuff that doesn't matter as much. And in this case, we're not talking about tangible stuff most of the book. So
it's kind of like what we did recently.
How long have you been waiting to interject me to say that? It is kind of like that, actually.
I know.
This is what happens when I read all these books.
She's like, we need to refocus.
Start making weird life changes.
Like, where are we focusing our energy, right? Like,
but
honestly, that's
what it is.
Like, we all have limited amount of time, limited amount of resources,
yes,
and limited amount of energy.
That
right?
is
and
exactly
if you pour
it.
Pour all of that into things that aren't really giving
right.
you the return on investment
yes.
that you expect.
Right.
They need to make some changes. You need to start cutting some things out and start refocusing on things that are more important to you.
Right. Exactly.
Right?
I completely, completely agree. Yeah, like she has a section here called good enough is good enough for most decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of, you know, paralyzing yourself trying to make like the best choice about things. Yeah, so I highly, highly recommend this. It's a really quick read. It's a light read. I think that everybody could probably grab something out of it. I have a lot of tabs, so I clearly grabbed a lot of really cool stuff about
it. I personally haven't read it.
I'm probably gonna
can't speak to it.
Yeah, you haven't. He gets the Reader's Digest from me.
Yeah, she gives me the Cliff's Notes.
I do. I give you the Francis Notes on all these things. But yeah, anyway, so that's my book. That's my book of the day.
Okay.
Joy at Work.
Sounds joyful.
Buy it now.
Okay. All right, so final book in our bookshelf segment is we'll go real quick on this one because we can't really tell you much of anything about it.
I know, because there's so much.
This one is a major
spoilers
in it.
Yeah.
So this is a book that actually a friend turned me on to a long time ago. Mm-hmm. It is written by the author by the name of Hugh Howey, and it was a series of small short stories.
Yes.
That all created this sort of full book, mm-hmm. and they called it the Silo Omnibus because mm-hmm. it was made up of a bunch of short stories.
It was like making a bunch of stories that made up a bunch of books.
Yeah, and I think there's a graphic novel too and all that stuff. But the but all you need to know is the first book is called Wool, and Wool is made up of a bunch of smaller books, mm-hmm. and then there's another one called Shift, and then Dust. Those make up the omnibus. So if you're going to get it, get the omnibus because it has the whole story mm-hmm. Front to back.
Yeah.
And it to give you a really
high level overview.
Because if you really start to dig into it, there's a lot of major sixth sense spoilers type, you know, level spoilers in this, right? Like, so if you told somebody the ending of Sixth Sense before they watched it, they'll be like, really?
Yeah, but also they would watch the whole movie, and be like, oh, I see it. Like,
with
it's
a different
stuff that's like right in front of your face.
Yeah, but
you don't realize
it. Yeah.
Until
because when it ends, and
they tell you, and you're like looking for all the red stuff.
The thing is, like when I saw that movie the first time, not to go on a tangent, but when I saw that movie the first time, I had no idea. And then at the end, I was like, oh my god.
Yeah.
And so you watch it a different way from that point forward.
That, yeah.
You don't want to ruin somebody's first experience with that.
Right.
The same goes for this book.
Yeah.
So it is a post-apocalyptic book mm-hmm. where you know most of the Earth is dead, radiated from nuclear fallout, and humanity is living in silos, mm-hmm. giant silos beneath the Earth, and they're just living their life and going about their business, and there's these certain routines of things that happen, mm-hmm. And then it starts to unfold the story.
Right.
And then eventually you figure out what it represents, why they're there, what it's all about, and it's just like, wow. So had it not gone where it went, it probably would not have been as good of a series.
Right. Yeah.
At first you don't even realize why the book itself is called Wool. It doesn't make but at
and
the
then,
end you
at
realize
the end
you're
like wow. Okay.
I get it now. So that's all we're gonna touch on that because like I said, I can't give you any more details because it will start to lead you down a path of trying to figure out what's going on. But it follows
you just read the book and figure
it follows
out what's
a series
on.
Of different characters.
Yeah.
But they're not what's important. What's important is the overarching story mm-hmm. behind what's actually happening.
I am such a sucker for these dystopian future societal type books.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
totally what
it's
this
like
is.
It, yeah, that's totally what this mm-hmm. is. And I'm like take me to that place.
Yeah.
And so I hope we're never there. But it's like, it's just so
highly,
good.
Highly
so
recommend
good.
This one. If it's a shorter book, you'll probably rip right through it. But it's mm-hmm. definitely an enjoyable read. And mm-hmm. at the end, it's kind of like that, wow. Okay, that was pretty crazy. So that's it. Wool,
very
the
good.
Silo series. Go check it out. That ends our bookshelf segment.
For today.
Next, we're on to tech.
Tech.
All right, on to tech.
We have it's the tech talk.
Two things we're going to talk about. the first one you may see
or hear
behind us at this moment.
Is this?
Is this glorious lamp behind us called the String of Pisces?
The String of Pisces lamp. I'm going to touch it. Can you see it? People on YouTube. Whoops.
Crazy.
It's pretty neat. You can touch it and it moves. All right, cool.
Different light settings.
Yeah. And I don't know if they can actually see it, people. At
home. You may or may not be able to see it.
Because it really shines when you have lower light, and we have like a lot of light on
not
us right
here.
Now.
So you may or may not see it.
But
it does give off a little almost like hum, which is why we didn't have it on for the rest of the video because it may interrupt the.
Yeah, you guys can like
audio.
Hear when our heater turns on. So.
Yeah, so we're gonna have this on.
Yeah.
But this is a string of Pisces, so it's a new lamp we just got. Thought we'd show it off to you.
Yeah.
It's something different. It is on, what is the name of this? Northern Circuits.
Yes.
Is the name of the company that makes them. Pretty good story behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really intricate. It's very pricey.
It costs $299.
Yeah, or $289.
But it's actually on sale. I think you can get it on sale for $257.
So it's definitely
right now.
In the upper,
it's pricey.
Upper 200
this
range.
This fancy lamp.
For this definitely fancy lamp. But it's really, really cool. It does all sorts of crazy stuff light-wise.
Yeah, so we've got, we showed you some of the settings, you know, that it has, but I believe you can program it.
It has a USB port.
I haven't even played with that,
it has a USB port.
So you can, do crazy stuff to it. Basically, it has a string. What you see kind of moving around with the light is this special kind of string that mm-hmm. captures the light and does science with it and just like spins it around and makes it look really, really cool.
Yep.
So it's kind of neat. And do you have the story pulled up about the Pisces?
So this thing went through Kickstarter. Initially they created the Aquarius fountain lamp, which is a different one. Their second product was the string of Pisces on Kickstarter in 2019. Success raised were 50,000 Canadian, and then went on to Indiegogo afterwards to reach 60,000. So they definitely kickstarted it, crowdfunded it to get to bring this kinetic art to life.
Yes.
Right. So now they offer, I believe they offer two, the Aquarius fountain lamp and the string of Pisces on their website.
Yeah.
Really neat, really intricate invention.
It's a really neat little invention.
Yeah.
And I think as far as the construction goes, it's a, is it PVA? Am I saying that right?
PVA.
It's like a biodegradable, molded.
Sort of plastic.
Plasticky kind of. I don't know, body, if you will, which is kind of cool. I think they did that, you know, on purpose. So it's like kind of eco-friendly, really cool piece. If you're, it kind of reminds me of like a lava lamp.
It does, without having any liquid, right?
Like the liquid.
Without the lava.
So, which is probably a good
56
thing.
56 RGB LEDs.
Yeah.
Twin DC motors, Arduino Nano powered, mounted on a custom PCB. I don't know. I guess the PCB is that plastic, right?
Yeah.
10 built-in modes. So you can just adjust it with the dial. Really neat. Don't we share? It's just something cool.
Yeah.
And we just like to show techie things that we have around the house. And
right.
Why not?
Cool tech.
So you want to go ahead and talk about the next product?
Top tech on my top show.
Top tech on my top show. I'll turn
turn that thing off. It is funny because like we can't really, we can hear the little hum. But I really don't know how this
it's going to cross. We don't want you to be so annoyed by the humming sound.
Okay. So my tech recommendation of the week is the Owlet sleep sock.
The Owlet sleep sock.
Sleep sock.
People
so
are like,
is,
what in the world is
this? Yes,
a sleep
this is not
sock?
Something for you. This is something for your baby.
For a little person.
So for a very tiny person. So what this is, and obviously if you guys don't know, you know, we had a baby this year. This is something that will take all of the anxiety, or at least some of the anxiety, out of like your first couple of months, you know, up to now.
Up to a
she's
year.
Still wearing
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
so,
probably up to the first year.
Yeah, this thing, this fits babies up to, it's like 5 to 30 pounds, I think. So what it is it's not really like a booty, but it's more of a, it's like
an ankle wrap. Think of it
like
that
an
way.
Ankle wrap.
Ankle and heel wrap.
We call it baby low jack.
Kind of.
Because it's kind of like, goes like sort of around their ankle and really binds, you know, around their heel.
Mm-hmm.
But what it does is it's a pulse oximeter, I think. But anyway, it's like this little infrared diode that shoots up, you know, kind of into their foot. And it's measuring their oxygen and their
pulse.
Heart.
Really.
Their pulse.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So these things used to be like really clunky back in the day.
Yeah. They were machines back in the day.
Yeah. So if you had a baby that maybe had some kind of issues or
which
something.
Which I did.
My
oldest daughter was almost 2 months premature, and she weighed about 3 pounds.
Yeah.
3 pounds, I think 10 ounces, something like that. So she was like a kitty cat.
Yeah.
Little baby. But they had sent us home with a giant, like, machine that strapped up to her chest and measured her heart rate, her breathing. For the first year, we had to put this on her after we got her out of the NICU. So, it was a great peace of mind because
absolutely
scared to death.
Yeah. So now it's kind of like anybody can have that, or pretty much anybody. So,
yeah. Like they didn't have this back then.
Yeah. So this is kind of like where tech is now, and what this thing does, which is really neat, is it's the sock. It hooks up to, also there's a camera that you can get as well. So you don't have to get the camera if you have another camera that you like, but we like having the camera as well because it all goes through the same app. So you have this app that'll show you the baby, which we have up all the time when we, you know, obviously when we aren't with the baby, but like if we're down here filming something, we've got her picture up like right on the phone, and it has her heart rate and her oxygen level right there on the screen with her little picture in full HD. So no creepy alien baby picture on your, you know, weird little baby monitor of thing. It's got like a two-way talk feature, so like audio comes both ways. You can hear the baby, obviously, and you can also talk to the baby. We don't use that function as much.
Not really, no.
But you could, I guess, if you want to.
Because if she's up and she's waiting to talk to you, she better be heading up those stairs to go get her.
But the really cool thing, I think, is that it does teach you a little bit about how your baby's sleeping, especially as you start sleep training. And as you start to, you know, as your baby's starting to develop as well, like we noticed her heart rate getting lower as she got older, and like kind of stabilized, and we've really learned like when she's really deep asleep versus when she's kind of in that twilight sleep versus like when she's ready to get up, like know where her heart rate is and stuff. And so it's been really neat to be able to be like, let's, you know, we're not going to like let her cry forever, but if she's fussing a little bit, but we see that her heart rate's still like kind of in the sleepy mode, we'll let her like fuss a little bit and maybe try to go back to sleep on her own. And she does.
And it works. Yeah.
Whereas I think without this, I'd be like, oh my gosh, she's crying.
Yeah. You hear her crying, you just assume she's awake, but it's not always the case.
The other cool thing about this is that it comes with a base that lights up. It's a green, yellow, or red. And in green mode, if it has a green ring around it, that means baby is perfectly fine. So oxygen level's good, heart rate is good. And if you're sleeping, we always have the camera up on our phones anyway, but if you are somebody who doesn't like to sleep with your phone next to your bed or something, you can just look over at the base station if you have it in your bedroom, and you can see that the baby's perfectly fine. If it's not fine, you will hear it because your phone goes off.
It goes off.
Your everything. You get emails. Like texts.
For alarm,
I think
fire.
They like call you. So it's kind of like ADT for your baby.
For your baby, it's an alarm system for your baby.
So you do kind of experience that. I think we've only had a few times where it's gone off, like we've gotten that red alert.
Yeah, she'll like kick it off.
It's like usually
she's
it is
too
like
much, yeah.
She moves a lot, or she has gotten to the point where like her heart rate's gone above 200 because she's like
really
screaming
mad,
or something. And so we'll go off, you know, for that. But for the most
fine,
part, I've been so impressed with this because I was
really
kind
of
worried, like, is she going to, there's another one.
So
that's
there's
like a
one called
the Nanit that you could, it's like breathing wear that you put around their chest.
It literally, the camera looks at a pattern of dots on the chest of the baby, I guess. And then what it does is it registers motion to show breathing.
Right.
Come on.
I'm not into that.
I can see with the owlet, I can see the oxygen percentage that the baby's getting. And I know her heart rate. Like that is a little bit better for me.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. So,
and the price difference between the two is not that big.
No.
You're talking like $70.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
And so we really recommend this. It's a really cool piece of baby tech.
Yep.
We've got like lots of baby tech, and
this is definitely
a
must have.
If you're like a new parent or something,
if you're an old parent, this is my fifth kid, and I'm like, I wish I had this for all of them,
right? Because you are going to want every ounce of sleep that you can get.
I'd like to get them in 15 year old size so I can put it on my oldest and watch.
I don't know, we can put it on like his big toe.
We could, maybe it might fit his big toe. His feet are bigger than yours now.
Yeah, that is true, unfortunately. Yeah. So this thing, I'll talk price really quick. So again, for us, like this thing could have been like $1,000. I would have paid it because it's that good and it's that like much of peace of mind. I think it's $399.
$399 with the camera.
With the camera. So mm-hmm. you don't have to get the camera. We actually didn't have the camera, I think, for a week or two or whatever.
And we got the camera.
And we got the camera because we were like, obviously, we wanted to be able
it's
to see
it. It's worth
it. Even though she was next to us, like in the bassinet, we still got it. It was still
instead
worth
of having
it.
Because, look, in your room's pitch dark.
Exactly.
You can't see your baby.
Right.
So on that camera, it's got night vision.
Yeah, and she shows up like super
crystal clear.
Yeah.
So it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's so worth it.
It's definitely worth it. So, yeah.
There it is.
Anything else?
Outlet.
Monitor.
Monitor Duo Smart Sock. Third generation.
Oh, yeah, I will say this. Do not be cheap and get the second gen. Don't get it second hand off of somebody.
Yeah.
You know, that used it.
That'd be
kind of
gross because honestly, the one drawback from the sock
that
is that it stinks.
It gets stinky.
It smells like stinky feet.
It does.
Your baby has stinky feet.
I didn't even know babies like.
It smells like a sweat sock from the gym.
So you do have to wash it. Luckily though, it does come apart. You can wash both the electrical diode mm-hmm. piece and the other one. Obviously you're not going to throw it in the laundry. You're going to hand wash it gently. But do make sure you wash it because it does get kind of sticky.
Because your baby will sweat their little sweaty feet into that thing and it will start to smell.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, they do get sneaky
feet. It's kind of gross. But you can get, they give you two sizes of sock, I think, to start with.
Mm-hmm.
You can get additional socks to put around the
they
little
give
diode
you
piece.
Left and right foot and small.
Oh, that's right.
Left and right foot and large. So you do have enough to go through.
Yeah.
It's plenty.
Yeah, yeah. So they give you, they give you a bunch
mm-hmm.
to
get Yeah, you have more than enough.
With,
more than but, enough to get started.
Yeah, totally, totally worth it.
Definitely.
If you have any questions about it, let us know.
Yeah, we're happy to talk to you and share our
experience
with it.
We have all the baby tech.
We do have all the gadgets.
So we will be covering
we'll cover some more,
lot of those cool baby techie stuff too.
All right. So that is it for our tech segment.
All right.
Let's go close this out.
Okay.
All right, so I think we covered quite a bit this week.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, I hope.
I'm enjoying this. I really
do.
Am loving
I like
this a lot.
I like talking about a lot of the fun stuff we do outside of just one particular hobby, right? Like, because
we do so many different things.
We
have a lot of weird hobbies.
Yeah, we do a lot of stuff. So I think this is a really good opportunity for us to kind of share, what we do and what we have around the house.
Yeah.
We get a lot of cool things.
I think next time. I want to talk about the Peloton.
The Peloton? Okay, we'll talk about the Peloton.
We got a Peloton.
Yeah. So we'll give away all our upcoming show stuff.
Well, I was like, I'm putting in a.
Oh, is it the teaser? Come back for next time. We'll tease it a little bit. We'll definitely talk about some other cool stuff we have lying around the house.
Yeah.
Stuff we do, stuff we use.
Yeah.
But I think that about wraps it up. Look, we had really, really good interaction. A lot of comments. We had over 500 comments on the last video. I'd say let's keep the pace. I don't expect 500 comments this time, but I think it's really good interaction. Definitely going through the comments, trying to respond to as many as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been a really good first kickoff to this new channel.
Yeah, it's been really cool. Again, like really refreshing.
Yeah, and look, we kicked off with 30. We have over 3,600. Subscribers at this point.
Hey, you guys are awesome.
Awesome.
I was like, we don't even have a video up.
Before we even had videos, we had a couple thousand, and then as soon as we popped our first video up, it keeps climbing.
Yeah.
I think this is a really great show of support, mm-hmm. at least for this new venture. And I think it's glad you're along for this ride. I think we'll kind of all grow together and figure out what our stride is and what you all want to really see. Definitely send in your questions. We'd like to end each show with a Q&A. Didn't get enough really good questions.
To do a full segment.
So we've got a few questions, not a ton. A lot of you brought. We had a ton of. A whole list of suggestions for shows and books that we did write down, and we have those, and we're going to go search for those. But we definitely want more questions that you have for us.
Yeah.
About anything, and I think it's a really good way to
questions or recommendations, I guess, too. Stuff we're not covering, but we
or recommendations of another segment you'd like to see us cover. Maybe
we need a sourdough recipe.
Yeah, we would definitely do. She does a lot of baking. I do a lot of savory cooking.
Yes.
We have a lot of stories we could share about our lives. Like we've been through so
all
many
kinds
things.
Of
you have
crap.
Yeah, you can't. You couldn't even imagine some of the stories we have to tell. just think about it. I spent a ton of time. In the military,
mm-hmm.
and growing up in the corporate world and yeah. climbing the corporate ladder, I know and can share many, many stories of how the big banking system is and what it's like to work for, you know, some of the largest financial firms in the world.
Yeah.
And how you're treated and how what the expectations are and how to succeed in that place, right?
Right.
Because there are ways to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd love to share these stories. I've got some great military stories to share too.
Yeah.
You can imagine some of the things I've seen in my time there. But
I don't have any military stories.
Nah.
But I have lots of good other stories.
That's good. So, you know, we were thinking of a segment of just us, you know, each telling a story of something, you know, some weird experience that we had.
That'd be cool.
Which I think would be pretty interesting because it could be stories that, you know, we've shared with each other, I'm sure. But I think, you know.
Haven't shared with many other people.
Haven't shared with many others, and you might get a kick out of it. And I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. So let's talk about this week coming up on the channel. Mm-hmm. What you can expect. We're gonna have we're gonna be releasing our week 2 mentorship program video, which is gonna be another kind of instructional. We're actually doing, I think, technical filming. So we're gonna be talking about like filming and lighting and sound. So
That may or may not appeal to you. That, so look, don't feel obligated to. If you see those videos come up, they're really for the mentorship program.
Yeah.
So if they're not, if that's not at all what your interest is, then don't even bother clicking on it.
Right, right.
Because it's very prescriptive. It's for individuals who are in the mentorship program and those who are interested in learning how to improve whatever they do from a YouTube video generation perspective.
Yeah.
Who aren't necessarily in the mentorship program, don't have time for it.
We
kind of can't take any more people on because it's too big. So they're at least, what we didn't want to do is to shut anyone out from getting the content that we're providing because we want to make sure that we give it to anybody and everybody who wants to see it.
Right.
We're definitely not, targeting any individual specifically,
audience or anything.
Any audience.
Yeah.
We're just like, everybody gets it.
Right.
This is it. Here it is. We want to give everybody a fair shot at this. So like I said, if it's not your thing, don't even bother clicking on it. But otherwise, as I said, we're gonna try to stick to a weekly schedule with this podcast. I think we have so much to talk about that we have enough content to last us the rest of the year.
Yeah,
at least
for
at this pace, plus whatever
else we get into.
Yeah,
I was gonna say whatever else we end up like tossing onto this. This channel.
Yeah. So like I said, keep keep the comments coming. We love the dialogue and keep the suggestions flowing too so we can figure out where to steer this ship.
All right.
So hey look, if you haven't subscribed, jump in, join us for this journey and we'll see you in a week.
All right, we'll see you.
See you.